We're up to Paragraph Chav Gibel Pasik Chav. Okay, so yesterday we started discussing some of the ideas about the Besar Chamar. Let's review the Pasik. Okay, Paragraph Chav Gibel Pasik Chav at Agva Al Pilak Shehem. Klal Yisrael, the people of Yerushalayim, had a lust to engage in forbidden relations with Pilak Shehem, their concubines, the women of Egypt. And we learned yesterday this means that it was not just enough to have a wife. A wife is not available at every single moment for the husband, but the Pilak Shim represents a higher degree of Znus. Okay, Asher Bisar Chamayrim Bisaram, and here the pasuk defines the essence of the Egyptians. Their flesh is the flesh of Bisar Chamayrim, of donkeys, and their Zirmas Susim Zirmasam Zerem represents a flow. The flow of Shechva Zera is like the flow of horses. And this concept represents two different ideas. It represents the size. The Bisar Chamayrim represents, according to most of the Poshim, means that they're very large. And the frequency.
This passage is, this phrase is frequently quoted to characterize Mitzrayim and how immoral they were.
Right, right.
Using this phrase, not necessarily focusing on.
Not focusing on the specific physical quality in anatomy. There are many different ideas. Many different ideas in this passage. Okay, that we do. Let's just review all the mafarshim again because we're in the middle. Let's just run very quickly. Pasuk Chaf in the Mitzvah Stavit. Even though we discussed yesterday, just review quickly. In the Mitzvah Stavit, Pasuk Chaf it says, "Vata Agva Chashka El Pilak Shusam Liyos Lahem Lepilegesh Hamuchenes LeMishkav HaMishkal." So they can have always available. Asher Al Asher Ovar HaTashmisha Shalochem Gadol B'Shikshal Chamar. Okay, the anatomy, the zirmas hazer shalachem meruba kizerm shivichas zera susim the derech zaynim mufleges betachlas hahefkel lesavos fukeila. Okay, these are graphic descriptions of what is going on here. Okay, Rashi, we learned yesterday. Rashi pasuk chav says avata agva al pilak shehem al pilak shusam liyoyis lachem lifilegesh. He's learning over here the pasuk a little bit different. Is that they wanted they? It's interesting over here. According to the Mitzudos, it's the other way around. Chashka el pa pilak shusam lios lohem. No, same idea. I meant to say the same idea. Lios lohem lifi legesh. The precise translation here is that the Jewish people should be the pilegesh of the Egyptians, which means they are the females and the Egyptians are the males, and that's how we describe the anatomy of and of these different characteristics of the Egyptians, and these are all the characteristics of the male. Al pilak shusam liyos lachem lepigilegesh. Okay, asher b'sar chamarim b'saram aever atashmish v'zimras susim loshen ribu atashmish frequency shemar b'atashmish yos mishar kol azcharim shebehima period zirmas. The word zirmas means kiluach hazera kamo zedem mayim avar period. Okay, now let's see the radak. This is really where we got up to yesterday. Radak pasuk chaf chaf aleph vata agva al pilak shehem. So this means ta'amo al ha-mitzvah. If you have this, in your edition. I have it here in brackets. I'll skip the brackets. Ta'amo. I'm reading now from the Radak. Radak pasuk chaf. Let's see. Perishu. Let's just go without the bracket. Perishu ha-mefarshim. Pilak shehem avdehem. The pilak shehem means their servants. Ki pilak shim b'mokim hazeh anoshim v'loy noshim. Here it means men. See, he's not learning like Rashi and the Mitzudos. According to Rashi and the Mitzudos, when it says the word, it's an unusual form of the word, pilak shehem.
Because it looks like it's possessive, but it's not. It's a noun.
So that's why he's disturbed. According to Rashi, it means it's a unique expression. They want to become the females, the pilak shehem of the Egyptians. But that's not how the Radak learns. The Radak learns they wanted to be Avdehem, kima pilak shim b'mokim hazeh anoshim v'loy noshim v'yora al zeh asher b'sar chamarim b'saram shukinu le'iver ha'ish kima ror b'saro ozovo hechten b'saro mizovo shukinui. These are different euphemisms, and according to this interpretation, what it means is they wanted to be with their servants. Vata agva Al Pilak Shehem, Klal Yisrael wanted to have a relationship with the slaves of the Egyptians. We're calling the men the men who are the servants of the Egyptians with this very rare expression, a pilegesh. Pilegesh almost always exclusively refers to a female. But here, Klal Yisrael are the females in this mashal. So if it says here that the Klal Yisrael are the females wanted to have a relationship with the Pilakshin, it doesn't mean a female to a female, it means a female to a male. As the pasuk goes on to say, Besar Chamarim, describing, according to the Radak's interpretation we did so far, when it says, Besar Chamarim, Besaram, Vizirma Susim, Zim Rasam, that is a description of the Pilakshim. So therefore, it has to over here mean is that these Pilakshim is being used here in a very unique way to refer to males. Next, then he goes on to say, Vanochem Beinashu Kimashmoy. Okay, so here he says, but the better interpretation is as Rashi and the Mitzudos explained, that the word pilakshim really refers to a female, and we have to be creative in manipulating the translation of the word to mean is that al means, he explains, perusha al kamo im, v'chamohu v'yavoha nashim al hanashim v'hademim lo, omar kol kach, now he explains over here, omar kol kach choshka bohem ad, shenidmisa lohem kamo pilak shehem lo nisho sehem. Ule'inin zed noite das hametargem, shetirgem the Israelias lemehevei shemato lohoin betes, b'ktsas nuschois perish, shemuto lohem b'ktsas nuschois shamosha kimo shifre. I'm not exactly sure what he means over here. Okay, I see it over here is I'm not sure. Okay, let's leave it with that.
I think they're all saying is that they acted as Pilakshim.
They behaved.
They were submitted to a relationship.
Who are the Pilakshim? According to the Radak, according to his second interpretation, he still means to say, he's still defining the Pilakshim as a description of the Egyptians. Even in his second interpretation, the Jewish people had such an intense desire to have a relationship with the Egyptians. Ad shenid miso lohem. They appeared.
The Jews acted towards the Egyptians
as if the Jews were Pilakshim. Okay, so he's saying exactly what Rashi and the Mitzudos then said. Okay. No, well, basically, it's a woman who it's a woman that lives with a man that just for the purpose of having relations. Not to build a bias.
Not the rights and status of a wife.
Therefore, there's no kesuva. The classic is in Chazal give is there's no kesuva. He does not have to give her if he divorces her, he does not have to give her any alimony, any divorce settlement, nothing. It's just they live together to satisfy his taiva. She's designated to satisfy his taiva.
Jewish or non-Jewish, it makes it zero.
Either way. Pilagesh, right? Pilagesh, by Jews, it would be considered to be a kadesha. Well, not necessarily, because a kadesha can mean she's so many. It's miyuchah to this man.
King,
it's okay. I don't know. I'm not familiar with all these gory details or whatever they are. Yeah, concubine. There was a fellow that
Never mind. Don't go.
Okay, but this is Chazal say that a ksuba. Why is it called a ksuba? A kesuva is ksav.
We've been there already.
Kesuva is the word when a man marries when he gives. Kesuva is ksav yud ke. I'm sorry. Kesuv. What are the extra letters? Vav hey. The word kesuva. What are the words of letters of kesuva? Kesuva. Kesuva has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 letters. Okay, what are the two? What is ksuva really should be a ksav? It should really be a ksav, right? Are you writing to your wife a document that in case of death or divorce, she will be taken care of? She's not going to be left in the street. So it should be a ksav. I'm giving you a document that has words written upon it, which I hereby obligate myself to take care of you in case of death and divorce. But there are two extra letters in the word kesuva. Vav, hey. Why are there these two extra letters? Chazal say, Ish v'isha shalom b'neihem shchina b'neihem. And what does that mean? What does it mean? Ish v'isha shalom b'neihem. because the man has the letter Yud, Ish, and the Isha has the letter Hey. The uniqueness of a man versus a woman versus a man, are the letters Yud, Hey, which is the Shem Hashem. But Yud, Kei is only half of Hashem's name. Ki Yod Al Kei Ska Vuchamo La Hashem Ba'amolek. Until the coming of Mashiach, Hashem's name is only spelled Yud, Kei. When Mashiach will come, Hashem will remove Amalek, then it will be restored to be Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. So Chazal say, when a man and a woman get married, each one provides one letter. The man provides the Yud, the woman provides the Hey. That's only Peleg. That's only half of Hashem's name. In order to be mashlim the name, you write a kesuva. Kesuva, you add the Vav and the Hey to be mashlim Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. What does that mean? When a man is married to a woman, if what happens in the event that she does not serve him dinner, or the dinner is burnt, or some other thing that the wife does, which brings Perichav Pasichav Gimel. Perichav Gimel Pasichav. Perichav Gimel Pasichav. What happens if the wife does not satisfy her husband's needs? So a man who is a hot-tempered person, even if he's not so hot-tempered, will just say, you know what, wife? Get out. Leave, you're no good, you don't know how to cook, you don't know how to do the laundry, you can't make enough money to satisfy me, so you know what? Pick yourself up and leave. Here is your divorce. Chazal were scared that a person would do such a thing. In order to prevent him from doing such a thing, is he has to write a ksuva. Oh, you want to divorce your wife? It's going to cost you a lot of money. Okay, it's going to cost today, they say ksuva today is about $50,000, $60,000. It's a very big problem today. Unfortunately, people get divorced. Young people get divorced. They can't afford to get divorced. They don't have a penny to their name. They can't afford to pay the rent. How are they going to afford to pay the ksuva? And forget about paying all these other expenses that come along with divorce. It's about $50,000 a ksuva. Enough money for a person to live comfortably for an entire year, which Rav Moshe, 20 years ago, 25, 20 more than 30 years, he said it was $30,000. So that was 30, 40 years ago, maybe even more. So today, it's certainly at least $50,000. And what is the cost? What's the cost of living? And how much? You make your own calculation. You pay for rent, pay for food, pay for life insurance, health insurance, and pay for basic needs, what your person needs just to live, comfortably. Not talking of here to live, go on vacation to hotels, for Pesach. We're talking about just to survive. So, when you write a ksuba, it's ksav, you add the vav hey. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean, chazal? If you really want to bring Hashem into your marriage, there has to be commitment. It's not just enough to get together. Each one should satisfy the other's taiva. There has to be a commitment to accomplish, to build something in for the future, to build a bias. And a commitment does not always involve pleasure. Sometimes it's not so comfortable, but there has to be that. What guarantees that commitment, and it's not just about satisfying a person's pleasure, he shouldn't be lonely, she should be able to satisfy his taiva. It's not just about that. You have a ksuva, and the ksuva is the vav hey. So it's not just yud kei, you're eating the ksuva, the vav hey. It's yud kei, vav hey, which brings the shleimus of Hashem's name. A pilegesh is peleg. Peleg means half of Hashem's name. It's just Yud-Kei. Yud-Kei means Hashem's name is still incomplete. And there's a man and a woman, they're living together, and they're serving a purpose, but there's no commitment. There's no commitment. That's exactly what Amalek is all about. Ki Yod Al-Kei Ska Milchama La-Hashem Ba-Amalek. Amalek is all about satisfying your taiva now. It's not about the future. It's not... You want to take him home?
Yeah, we need
okay,
to
go
back
okay,
to
okay,
school.
I'm
working. Come on.
That's why a pilegesh is called peleg. It's only half of Hashem's name. It's a relationship, man and woman, without the vavkei, without the ksuba. So here it says, you want to go elaborate upon this. Here it says, when it comes over here to Klal, Klal Yisrael here had a desire that they should be with Egyptian, and there should be no commitment. No commitment. It's just a matter to satisfy their taiva. They don't want to be for them as an isha. They would be them as an isha. There would be some dignity, I guess. dignity, and there's some type of goal, there's some type of long-term relationship. They stooped to such a low is that the relationship with the Egyptians was just purely to satisfy their immediate needs, immediate taiva, not thinking big picture. You got to think big picture. When you have a relationship, you have to look at the big picture. Okay, that is the drush on the word pilakshim peleg. Okay, next word is in the Radak, Asher Besar Chamonim Besaram, time al pilakshim. We're describing the pilakshim according to the first interpretation of the Radak is that the word pilakshim is an unusual word. It refers to men. We're describing over here the men, the Egyptian men, and there we're now describing their anatomy. Kigam ervas anakeva mukhuna b'loshon basar. No, I'm sorry. Kmo dam yiyeh zoyva. Let's see. We were dam zoyva b'besara oitama al mitzrim v'al kakastim. Okay. Yeah. So no, either or. If you want to go like the second interpretation, then it's saying al pilak shehem asher besar. Okay. I'm not really sure. We're referring over here simply to the Egyptians, and we're calling them the pilakshim. Well, the Jews are the pilakshim. We're referring now to the Egyptians, and we're describing their anatomy. V'al zeh moshel amar. The zimra susim zimra sam kina lezera hayotzi kizer ma'im hayotzi b'koyach v'dima ervasam lechamoyrim shem gidoy leibasam v'dima mosam lesusim to horses shehem shetufim b'yizim yotzim b'shar behemos v'zach rasibur hazel legenai shamitzrim b'chorim b'masim they are the most disgusting, the most abominable people v'yavol p'yish shekein choshkam even though they're so disgusting yet the Jews still wanted them. You couldn't find someone better looking. You had to go and have an asik with the animals. V'lamdas ma'asim ha'ma'asim ha'mechoyerim v'ha'pechusim she'ma'asim zeb mishal pilak shehem v'yav pi shezoch ha'znus mitzrayim v'tchilas ha'inyin zoch ha'ro'esoy gam kein b'seif v'inyin l'fi she'ho'is ha'tchilas zunusam. So here he's saying we're winding down like a sandwich. We start off reading the parakeet that Klal Yisrael when they were in Egypt. The Egyptians molested them. Right? The Egyptians touched them. They touched their shadayim. And then we went through a long discussion of Ohola and Oholiva, and that refers to the sins of imitating Ashur, not the Egyptians. And then we wind down. Hashem says, yeah, I remember, it all goes back to your taiva to have an asik with the Egyptians. With the Egyptians. After we mentioned what Ohola and Oholiva did with Ashur and Nebuchadnezzar, the Kastim, we go back to return to their source. And that's what it says. Vatifkidi zochart haznus shezonis b'mitzrayim. Remember the znus b'mitzrayim. V'achat oisod kamkein bi'artzich in your land. L'znus achrei elohim achirim. Okay, a lot of psychologists say all this is very true. Is that when we have a tendency, when a person has a tendency to sin, to do strange things in his adult life, it percolated. All of these things really percolated from the time that he was a child. When he was a child, he had certain taivas, and those taivas were not guarded, were not, he was not sheltered from certain things, and then when he becomes older, he likes to revisit things that his mind teased him from his youth. Yeah?
Didn't we learn in the Chumash that Shmaimus Bas Dibri was the only one that had Znus?
Right, so this, that's what we said in the beginning, that this is all a mashal for Avodah Zarah. All of this doesn't mean mamish gili arayis in Egypt, because in Egypt, you're right, there was no, it's one of the zechusim that we had to leave Egypt. There was no znus, it was only one person. And even that wasn't her fault. I mean, she was raped. Okay, this Egyptian, he tricked her, not even raped, he tricked her. Why did he trick her? Because he liked her. Why didn't he even know about her? Because she was out there on the streets schmoozing and flirting with all the men. That's why it happened. But even that, as a low-level type, wasn't done deliberately in Achnami. But in Eretz Yisrael, there's no question that this was one of the big three. There was Gili Arayus, and it's mentioned over and over. But you're right, when we mentioned the reference to Mitzrayim, it's purely a mashal for Avodah Zarah. We mentioned many times that all Avodah Zarah was only for the purpose of creating a new ideology so that they could permit forbidden relations. When a man had a taiva to marry a woman that he's not allowed to marry, how do you do it? You make a new religion. And in the new religion, it's mutter. Not only is it mutter, it's a mitzvah.
Or create rituals surrounding the worship that
this is what you do. Avodah Zarah is all a goal in order to be matir, gili, arise. That's what Chazal said. Okay, next, words of the Radak, be'asos mitzrayim, zelavadu menakal be'in be'in isu. The word basos. Asos means to force. It means to squash, molest. That's why it's called a get me'usa. What's a get me'usa? A forced get. If you force a man to give a get against his will, it's not a kosher get. He has to say the words, roitze ani. That's the big controversy with the get law. The second get law is that if a man does not give a divorce, he has to pay an enormous fine, enormous sum of money. And therefore, many people give a get. Rahman al-Islam, they have no choice. They go bankrupt, so they're forced into giving a get. And that became now a very big problem in halacha. Maybe this is a get mu'usa. They're not giving the get because they're saying roitza ani. They're giving the get because of external reasons. So it is problematic. So that's the word, get mu'usa comes from this word. You're squeezing the person to do something that he would not ordinarily do.
So how is jail?
In Eretz Yisrael, they put him in solitary confinement. I guess the answer is, I think the answer is that it has to start from Beis Din. You see, in halacha, it's like going to a secular court. You got to go to a secular court. Well, the Jewish courts have very, very little power. But yet, if you first go to a Jewish court, and then the Jewish court sends you to the secular court, then the secular court is acting as the agent of the Jewish court, and then it's mutter, it's fine. It's in with the get. If they first go to a Jewish court, and then the Jewish court sends you to Beis Din, to the secular court, and the secular court then issues a fine and says you're gonna pay all your life savings, then it would be much, much less problematic. But being that it's set up, you don't even need a Jewish court right away. In the very first moment, you go to secular court, it's right away in their hands. That the dynamics, it's a big mess. Okay, it was such a big mess when this whole thing happened. They passed two get laws. There was get law number one, get law number two. Get law number one was very good. Everyone was happy. All the Gedolei Yisrael were all on board. Get law number two was a disaster. They thought it was good. And the whole thing was
why according to the Rambam is there a problem with get Musa?
Right, as I just said, because when is the Reitz Ani coming into play? The Reitz Ani has to come into play in the very, very beginning.
At least he says it.
He has to say, but it also has to be the very, very. It has to go through the Jewish court. I don't know all the details. It's very complicated, and the Chiluk Deis, there are definitely differences of opinion. Many Paiskim, and I don't know anything about this. Baruch Hashem, and. It's complicated, okay? It's complicated, but I just want to bring up the term over here, you have over here, and we never had this word so far, mu'usa, forced, isui, and that's the very common term you hear when it comes to laws of Gittin, and it comes from this word over here. Okay, let's finish up with the Radak. Laman, l'peirushoi, let me tell you the words, ba'asos mimitzrayim, ba'asos mimitzrayim is when you were forced, when you were squeezed in Egypt. Okay, because that's the next pasuk. I'm reading another redak from the next pasuk because he put the two pasukim together. It was pleasant. This young girl, she enjoyed the fact that she was molested by this Egyptian. It had a percolating effect. But later on, she wanted to go back and revisit this experience and do znus again with the Egyptians. Okay, there are a few more chazal with regard to this pasuk of that Egyptian, his flesh is called Basar Cha Moirim. So let me read for you some Amari Chazal. You don't have it here in front of you, I have it in front of me, so I'm just going to read for you. I'll try to translate and go slow. You're not allowed to recite Kriya Shema in the presence of a naked non-Jew. So the Gemara says, why do you mention a non-Jew? You're not allowed to do this in front of anyone, in front of a Jew or a non-Jew. The Gemara says, of course, a Jew, that's simple, that's an erva. I would think, since it says, Mahu de same ahoyluch siv buhu asher bisar chamayrim bisaram, I may think that a guy is like a donkey, that the erva of a guy is just like a piece of meat in Glatmart.
Or like being in front of an animal.
In front of an animal, okay. So kamash malon? No, it's a mistake. That you got to be careful. Just because in a chinami, the pasuk says this, but in halach of kriyashma, it's still called an erva, and it is forbidden to recite kriyashma de inu nami ikru erva. How do you know that? Maybe this pasuk is the pasuk that defines the nature of a goy's erva? No, there's a pasuk in the Chumash. It says with regard to Lot, or regard to Noach, the ervas adihem loy ra'u, when they covered the father, when they covered Noach when he was naked in his tent, they did not see his erva. Noach is the classic ben Noach, the classic guy, and he's still called.
He's a Noach.
He's the classic. He's the father, and he's called. And there it's called an erva. So therefore, you have to have a balance. On the one hand, this pasuk calls it a chamor, it's a stira. And there it's called an erva. So what's the balance? The balance is, it depends. It depends on the halacha. When it comes to kriya shma, it's an erva. When it comes to other matters, then we call them a chamor. Next example.
The erva of Noach went through chamor. It
went down to chamor. The
erva went down, I don't know. Kinetic part of chamor.
Okay, the Gemara here says another. I'll give you another Maimer Chazal. The Gemara says of Shilu Nagdelu Gav the Dobal Mitzvus. There was a Ma'isa Shahoy that a man had a forbidden relationship with an Egyptian woman, a non-Jew. So this man, so he got Malchus. They took him to court, and Rav and Rabbi Shela, he whipped him. So he was very upset. So what did he do? He was a Malshin. He was a Roidef. He went to the government and told the government, you know, the Jews are rebelling against you. He went and he was malshin. He told the government, what did he do? He told the government, there are people, there are vigilantes among the Jewish people. They're taking the law into their own hands. They're not consulting with the government. How do you allow a person to go beat me up? Okay, this is a federal crime. Take a person, to kidnap a person cross state and to beat him up. That's what they did to me. They beat me up because I did an aveira. I went and I had a relationship with a woman, a non-Jew. The bezin took me, they kidnapped me, and they beat me up in the basement. So they're in violation. So what did the government do? The government shodalei par listaka. They sent out the FBI to arrest Reb Shela. Ki os amalei my time nagdilai. So on trial. Judge said to Reb Shela, "What are you doing? You live in a secular country. You live in a government. You have no right to take the law into your own hands." So he told them, "What do you want from me? You know what the guy did? He had relations with an animal. He was ba on a chamor. Now he wasn't. He was ba on a mitzvah. This man brought a donkey into his home, and he was living with the donkey. I mean, come on! Just because we live in America, there are certain things you gotta step in. You gotta do. You gotta take care of. You know, you get ad kedekach al chamarta amrilei. Really? The judge says, really? You can prove it. You have the video. You have, you know, the closed circuit TT. Get the videotape. Amal isle sa'amulah. Yeah, in. Yeah. Who showed up? A miracle. Eliyo Hanavi came to testify." He testified in front of the judge that this man had a relation with a donkey. Armulei, you're right, Ihachi, bar ketolu hu ischayiv misa. He's chayiv misa. This person is chayiv misa, so you know, so it's even worse. This person, if he really did this and you have testimony, not only did he deserve to be whipped by you, he deserves death. We don't tolerate this in this country. Amaluhus, Rav Shela says, no, that far we're not going to go. Because since the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Anan Miyomad the Golina Me'arin Lesna Rishus Lutal, we don't have permission to exercise capital punishment. Dibi Isun Avidu Bey Ad Ma'ayne Bey Bedin. We can't do it. But judge, in other words, we really would have. You're right.
He deserved it,
but I couldn't kill him. But judge, the honorable, respectable judge, if you want to kill him, okay, gesunde hate. You have the evidence, okay? We present you the evidence.
When they say donkey, they mean mitzvah.
Oh, that's exactly the point the Gemara is coming to point out over here. So the truth was, this man was living with a shiksa.
Right.
Zehu. So by the goyim, there's nothing wrong with doing that. I mean, ma'aseh b'chol yom, what's wrong? But the Rav, one of my balabatim, is doing this. I'm not going to tolerate this. So he whipped him, and the person got upset. He went to the court. And the queen told him in court, "What happened? I'm living with a woman. That's in this country. That's fine. And look what he did to me." So they brought up Shela. He wasn't living with a woman. He was living with an animal. He was living with an animal. An animal, on the laws of the country, you're allowed to kill such a person. That's part of the world. That was accepted in the society. So the judge, you have proof? Eliyahu HaNavi came and testified that this man was living with a donkey. Fine. So the judge says, okay, you're right. It's Chayiv Misa. It's even worse. Chayiv Misa. So in the meantime, then he went, and when it happened, the Gemara, basically he went and he said to the judge, "Judge, you're the greatest. Okay, you're the best. You're the greatest. You're such a good judge. You know how to." He said he gave all his praises. Saying so, he basically went to the Gemara. The Gemara says that Baruch Hashem gave us a government that knows how to exercise mishpat. We live in a country in Molei Morahu Ish Es Chaveroi Chayim Bilav. We would not have law and order. Man would literally swallow up another man. Cannibalism. So the judge was so impressed, was so moved by the praise of Rav Shila. Amru Chaviva Lai Yekar D'Malchus Kulahai. You know what? I'm now going to make you a judge. You can skip law school. You don't have to go to law school. You don't have to take the bar. I'm giving you a license. You're now going to sit in the court, the high court. And I'm going to elect you to the Supreme Court. Amale don dina. So Amar kihavi nafik. Amale hu gavra. So fine. So that was the ma'isa. So he was elected to the Supreme Court from this whole ma'isa. This balabas came to the Rav of Shela on Shabbos. Says, I don't understand. I didn't live with a donkey. Everything worked out good for you, not so good for me. But it's all a lie. This whole thing was a farce. You told me I live with a donkey. I was living with a shiksa. There's a difference between living with a shiksa and living with a donkey. And Eliyahu HaNavi came to go and testify. So Yahavi Amlehu Gavra, Avid Rachmana Nisa, Leshakre. Hashem makes miracles based upon lies. What's going on here? So Hochi Amaleh, so Rav Shela said to him, Rasha, Lav Chamori Ikru. The woman is a donkey. The Chassid says, "Asher b'sar chamayrim b'saram." Their flesh is b'sar chamayrim. Chaz yitik ozel lemeimaluhu dekarinu chamore. Then the person was very upset. He wanted to go and tell the good judge that they're calling the Jew that they're calling the Jews donkeys.
Egyptian.
No, so it's not. You see from this Gemara, okay, the Mitri Egyptians. Omar, so he said, "Hi, Roydefu. Ooh, you're going back to the government, and you make more trouble for us. You're a Roydef," and he killed him. The Hartira Amra Imbol Lahargucha Hashkeim Lahargoy Machye Bekufla the Kadle Rav Shila killed, executed him. Okay, so this is the Gemara. Now, this Gemara, there are a few interesting things about this Gemara. Number one over here, you see this Gemara, the Ad Kedei Kach. Okay, we just had the Stira. Mitzad Echa, they're called an Erva, from Noach. Yeah, Mitzad Sheni, Ad Kedei Kach, they're called Besar Chamayrim, they're called Chamayrim.
That wasn't a Mitzri.
What?
Noach was not a Mitzri, this refers to Mitzri.
So, Enoch Nami, we see from this, that other Chazal, is that Lav Davka. Mitzri is just an example of a non-Jew. It's not to be taken literally. It's referring to all non-Jews. All non-Jews are in the category of Mitzrayim. For example, what did Avraham say to Eliezer and Yishmael? Shivu lochem po im hachamar. Am hadoimel lechamar. This is Yishmaelim, and this was Eliezer. Eliezer was what? I don't know what nationality he was. But whatever he was, Kanani, he was a Kanani, I don't know, is that really so? And Mariach, whatever it was. Am hadoimel lachamar, so you see that chamar is just a casual phrase for non-Jews, and here is the same thing, Abisar chamar, Abisar refers to all non-Jews. But you see, at kidei kach, how far Chazal view a guy to be a chamar, to the degree where he was able, a miracle happened in court, where he was able to say, Eidus, Eliyahu HaNavi is emes. Okay, I mean this week's parasha. This week's parasha is a missing. The Yaakov Avinu has an extra vav in this week's parasha. He stole it from Eliyahu HaNavi. It took a mashkain. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to be a chasama shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu is emes. Eliyahu HaNavi is coming to megala the chesim of Hakadosh Baruch Hu and add to the kach that svar goes. Another idea over here is he wanted to go tell them that they're calling us donkeys, which is a very very disturbing story. I told you the story probably many times. Is that when Art Scroll published the stone edition of the Chumash, I think they've sold over 500,000 copies. You know that? It's the most popular chumash in the world. The Stone edition, it's remarkable. How many editions? What is the chus to have to be able to write and put out the Stone edition throughout the Marian? You know, over here...
They still didn't make money on it?
Well, it was sponsors. Stone gave the everything. Yeah. Now, they must make money on it. I'm sure. How could they be after selling 500,000 copies, they didn't make money on it? They certainly made money on it by now. Once they... Has to be. But, you know, over here in Flatbush, you know, it's too heavy for us to carry around. But you go out of town, outside of New York, every single shul has, the only thing they have, really, is the Stone edition. The Stone edition used to be, you know, they have the Hertz, and they used to have what were the popular shul chumashim? Besides the regular shul chumash, they used to have, you don't see anymore, was it the Hertz chumash?
It
was the Hertz. The Hertz chumash.
No, the Hertz Chumash, but then later the
Soda
Pool.
Oh
no, that's the Sitter. That's the Sitter.
Okay, but so
the Hebrew
classic Shul Chumash, right? That we're talking in English, but when we came to a point where people wanted to have an English Chumash, but anyway, so when it was published, probably in the '80s, the early '80s, they showed it to Cardinal O'Connor, who we now know was a Jew. We now know that his mother was Jewish, okay, that's certain. So he was Jewish. If his mother's Jewish, so he's Jewish. And if he turned to the Pasuk, Am Hadoyme Lachamar, and he read the translation, he read the commentary in the Stone, the article Stone edition, Am Hadoyme, he read what it said there in the commentary, Shavu Lachem Poyim Achamar, you Eliezer and Yishmael, you're not coming with me to the Akedah, you're going to sit here with the donkeys, and therefore you don't see the Shekhinah. Am Hadoimel Lechamar, he said, look at that, here in the 20th century, they're still calling us donkeys. That's the story that I heard. Is it authentic, the story? I don't know, I assume it is. But that's, so over here, you look at this Gemara. This man, how careful you have to be. This man, he was living with a woman. He went, he was whipped. He was almost killed. Okay, they took him, he testified. And then he wanted to go back for a second round. Back to the government and tell the government, look, and he said to the Rav Shela, how can you go say I'm a donkey? It's a pasuk. An hadabul hamar. You're a donkey. You're calling non-Jews donkeys? I'm going to go tell that to the government. The government finds out that you're calling non-Jews donkeys, that they're going to make trouble for you. And he killed him. To go let the goyim know that we're calling them donkeys was viewed as a roidef. So how careful you have to be. How careful you have to be. There are certain things that it says in the Torah which the goyim really don't understand. They have no understanding of what it means, the depth of what it means. It's not, how careful you have to be. So what are you supposed to do? I mean, today everything is available online. I mean, today, I'm not coming to question Arshul Chas Shalom, okay? But I'm just, it's this funny thing that the Chumash made its way into the cardinal's hands, and he happened to, the first thing happened was for that pasuk, and it's mamash, that fear jumps out of this Maimon Chazal. And I'm not blending art school. It's not their fault. It's just, you can go to the Torah. You don't have to go to art school. You can go, anyone who knows how to read Hebrew, can go to the Chumash Rashi, and you can see what Chumash Rashi says. But, you know, it's a frightening thing. Okay, now, next Maimon Chazal. Next Maimon Chazal, it really comes from this week's parasha. This week's parasha is Erchin. Erchin, no, I'm not, it's Erchin. This Erchin. And then there is, when the person says, Domi Olai. I don't know if that is that in the sixth parasha. Domi Olai. A certain person wants, I want to give the, not Domi Olai. I want to give the value of my weight. I want to give that. There's Erechin. There's everyone has a set value, and then there is, I want to give how much I'm worth on the slave market. Okay, that's, I want to give to the Beis Hamikdash my value on the slave market. I think today that would mean you're worth about $6-7 million. Okay, that's how much. The person says the United States has the formula, how valuable, well, that's not really for an adult, they probably have this actuary. As a person gets older, his market value goes down.
You buy a slave for $100 in Haiti.
You buy a slave.
Go down to Haiti, fly down there, and you can buy a slave.
For $100, that's it?
That's it.
Okay, but in America, you can't import him. You can't, you'll pay on taxes to bring him in.
There's
a
airport.
What are you declaring in the airport, right? You walk in with him. What are you declaring? I'm declaring the customs. This is my slave. What does it say in the customs? What about what's false? What about how? Okay, but you know, in the United States, they have four formulas of how much is a person worth. I think a newborn is worth. I think it used to be worth $7 million, and then they reduced the value of a human being to $6 million. Went down and lost $1 million in value. That's not so silly. A person wants to go give a newborn infant, you say about him, I want to go give his value to the Beis HaMikdash, L'chaira, since the United States of America has evaluated people, how much they're worth, how much a person is worth, in other words, how much the government has to know how much every citizen is worth to them, yeah. when they create...
For Jews, because guys are going to sit and learn, I guess, this whole
time. I guess they have the average.
His earning potential drop.
It's very sophisticated. You go, you look at America, there's over 300 million people. How many are there? Over 300 million people, and I'm sure they have very sophisticated mathematics. People sit and work on this the whole day. They get paid good salaries to make these calculations when they come to make actuarial issues, and when they have to make budgets, they have to go and formulate budgets for the year. You have to know to expect how much revenue is going to come in, short term, long term. Economics. You have to know how much a person is worth. It's a very important concept.
Worth like $2.19, you know.
What?
$2.19.
Chemicals.
You take the body.
There's a question. What is the productivity of a person towards the country? A person is going to produce. There's an average. How much are you going to produce? That's dummy or lie. But then there's another topic of I want to give the value of my weight. My weight. How much is my worth? Is my meat worth? Cannibalism. If someone were to do, so the Gemara says, how do you figure out a person's weight? You use besar chamor, the meat of a donkey. There's meat. They're all different types of meats. You know, there is a dog meat. It's a delicacy. Dog meat. It's getting going to jail today in America. But other countries where there's no laws, dog meat is it's from the biggest delicacies, and all different types of animal meat. And there is donkey meat. So donkey meat, according to Chazal, is the most equivalent, this most similar to human flesh. So when you want to measure the weight, anytime you have an issue of halacha, you want to give the value of your weight, the equivalence of human flesh is measured from donkey flesh. So where do we learn that from? This very pasuk, Besar Chamer Meserim.
Price? Price?
Oh, the weight, no, the weight. The weight, not the price. Not the price, the weight. If you want to figure out, let's say, a person's arm, I want to give the weight of my arm, the weight of my arm to the Beis HaMikdash. So what is the weight of a person's arm? How do you make that calculation? No, you can, because you go on a scale, you're putting your whole body. Do you want to take the weight of a corpse? Take an arm of a corpse? I don't know. Maybe that would be a good idea. I don't know. Maybe when a person is dead, it's not the. I don't know. So the Gemara says you take the equivalent of a donkey meat. You take a person measures his hand, and he takes a piece of donkey meat, and make some calculation how much this amount of donkey meat is exactly equivalent to the volume of a person's limb. And then you take that donkey meat and you put it on a scale. Now you know exactly how much your arm weighs.
I think with water, you put water.
Or you put the water. So how much water will displace, right. And then you take that water and you have donkey to, right. You donkey meat, you have to, the equivalent of donkey meat. So that's another halacha.
A criminal like has a negative value.
I don't know the rules. Look, Baruch Hashem, one of the biggest accomplishments, you know, of Obamacare is that pre-existing conditions are not. Everyone is the same. Everyone is the same. So there is a certain value you have, even if you're not producing. I mean, there is a certain concept. That's a certain. There's a certain fairness. Is that so? Even a person who's a criminal, person who's handicapped.
You do averages or whatever.
It's all averages. Every person is. Yeah. Let's see. Omar Hochi Kamina, so the Gemara here says, someone says, Mishkal Yodi Olai. So Rabbi Yehuda Mem Malichavis Maim Machnes Biyod Ad Ha Otzil until the regal Ad Ha Arkuva until the armpit or the joint Arkuva, the Shoikel Besar Chamor, the Atzamois Vigidin Vesel Sech Anshet Ismale, the Ava Pishal Ravdav Zech Zechludava Shenemar. Okay, so therefore that's another halacha that we derive from this pasuk, is that donkey flesh is the most equivalent there is in this world to human flesh. Next halacha, Tanabar Maisa Biustini Bitashal As Verois Ben Antoninois Shabalov Rebbe Amoloi Rebbe Isha Bekama Nises When could a girl get married? Ba'ashol eshoyma minis of the Gemara. Vekama misaberes. She can become pregnant when she's 12 years old. Amrulanini says he b'sheish filati b'sheva oil l'shoshem shavati b'beis abba. Okay, we meet abba. We're talking about coming further over here. Asher b'sar chamorim b'saram. So here he's telling of the Gemara. Just the Gemara is that there was a ma'isa where the Gemara. When can a Jewish girl become pregnant? So the Gemara says 12 years old. And then the Gemara says it's not true. I find by Goyim, it was a case in point that was mentioned of a non-Jew. She became pregnant when she was under the age of 12 years old. So the answer was, you can't compare Jews to non-Jews. Non-Jews can become pregnant when they're less than 12 years old because they're not humans. Boy, am I going to get in trouble for saying this, right? They're not humans. They are donkeys. Besar chamoyrim besaram. Okay, that's one answer. Okay, another Maimon Chazal is Ein of Lemitzri. You don't really know who a guy's father is because donkeys are not makbid. You never saw a donkey with a marriage license, right? A marriage certificate. You never saw such a thing. Donkeys just whoever's available. Whoever's available is who they become pregnant from. There is no such thing. So too, when it comes to a guy, the fact that it says Bisar Chamoyrim Bisaram, the chazaka of who indeed is the halachic principle. When you're dealing with a guy and you want to know who is the guy's father, it's not so simple. It's not so simple. Loy tema, don't say Mishum Dishutufi Bizima, Dlo Yadie, Avli Yadide Hashin and Ela Afil Dadi, Namil Hashin, Dahoshne, Achin Tonim Dipachas Nechlushnaim. It's the Gemara over here says because this pasuk besar chamoyrim bisusam. Okay, so that's another halach principle. I don't know the details of when exactly how you apply in halacha, but the rules of viewing the father of a guy is relaxed relative to the rules of a Jew because of this principle that they're considered to be donkeys. Okay, there's another beautiful Maimon Chazal in my other safe. The other safe I have here, the green, I call it the green, the collection of the green Midrash, Oisha HaMidrashim, a beautiful Medrash that says that when Hashem took out, I'll read you the words, the Medrash, it's in Bamidbar Rabbah, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bishvil Chibasam Shel Yisrael, Shonisi Sidrei Shel Olam. The principle, the Hakdama to this Maimon Chazal is the very basic principle, is that Hashem is Mekayim the Torah. If Hashem gave us the Torah, Nohe Doresh for Nohe Mekayim. Every Hanhoga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu also fits in the mitzvahs, fits in the blueprint of the Torah. Okay, people always ask the question, yes, children, how can Hashem allow it to rain on Shabbos? It's carrying. Everyone knows you can't go out into the street and take a bucket of water and pour it out into the streets. Melacha Deraisa, to go and pour water from a Rishus HaYachin to the Rishus HaYachin. So how could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings rain to this world on Shabbos? Is that not a violation of Hoytzah v'hachnasa? So what's the answer? There was a child, very small child. What? I didn't hear that answer. That's very creative. But the answer is, it's Hashem's bias. Just like in your own home, you can turn on the sink, you can pour water, you can bring water and bring a container of water from the refrigerator and pour it on the table into a cup. The whole world, ki la Hashem ha'aretz u'malo, it's Hashem's bias. Okay, it's a nice little question and answer of a child, but that's all built on the principle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekayim the Torah. So the question is, so over here Hashem says, there are sometimes, Eis lasois l'Hashem, hefer torasecha. Hashem also does strange things in halacha. Hashem has to violate halacha because it's Eis lasois. What is the Eis lasois? Yitzias Mitzrayim. What does it say in the Torah? Yitzias Mitzrayim. Peter chamor tifteh viseh. Is that if your firstborn donkey, the firstborn donkey has to be redeemed with a seh. You take your firstborn donkey and you bring a seh, a sheep, and you say, zeh tacha zeh. And then the seh becomes mutter. And the seh is offered as a korban. The seh you offer as a korban, shlomim, That is the halacha. They even do it today. Every once in a while, you'll see on the news, they'll have an Eretz Yisrael, a Peter Chamar ceremony. They bring the Dar al-Chamar in, they decorate it with these funny decorations, they put on necklaces and all these funny things as a very strange ceremony, and they dance with the donkey. go, I'm sure you type in YouTube, I'm sure you'll find many videos showing you a Peter Chamar ceremony. It's very, very bizarre, very funny. And you make a bracha, and you redeem the Chamar with the Seh. Okay, what about if you have a Seh? There's no halacha Seh, either it's a Bukhar, or it's not, either it's a firstborn, or it's not a firstborn. Hashem says, look what I did. Klal Yisrael is called a Seh. They call it Seh Pizura Yisrael. A very famous pasuk. Where is it? In Yishai? It's so famous, I don't even know where it is. Right? Seh Pizura Yisrael. It's in Yirmiyah. Okay, Yirmiyah, Perek Nun. Seh Pizura Yisrael. And the Egyptians are called donkeys. This is pasuk. Basar, Chamar, and Basaram. And Hashem took us, the Seh, and redeemed us with the Egyptians. Hashem destroyed the Egyptians. We were the sinners. We did Averos. And Hashem redeemed us by putting our sins upon the donkey. The opposite. It should be the donkey is redeemed with the Seh. And yet here, the Seh, Klal Yisrael, was redeemed at the expense of the donkey. Let me read the words inside for more precision. Omra HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a very powerful medrash, even though it seems very innocent, there's a lot of you say this medrash, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekayim the Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu violates the Torah, he does strange things, Bishvil Chibasam, because of the Chiba Hashem has for Klal Yisrael, Shinisi Sidroi Shel Olam, Be'ezet Sad, how? Kosafti B'Torah Sheyei Chamor, a donkey, Nifte B'Seh, K'mo Yishan Emar, U'Pete Chamor, the firstborn of your donkeys, Tifte B'Seh, Vani, Hashem says, I, loyosisi kain, I never did that. Elo, the opposite. Padisi seh, I redeemed the seh, bachamar. Kloimar, hamitzriim, shenikru chamar, shenemar, sher besar chamarim besaram. The Yisrael, nikru seh, shenemar, seh, pizura Yisrael. They are like a seh that's dispersed all over the place, they're scattered in Golis. Vihorakti, bichoirehem, shel hamitzriim. I killed the firstborns. V'hikdashti, and I sanctified the firstborns of the Jews. Every firstborn Jew has to be redeemed. V'hikdashti es b'chareim shel Yisrael. Shenemar, ki li kol b'chor b'yoim, ha-koisi kol b'chor b'yeretz Mitzrayim. By Hashem going and killing the firstborn Egyptians, that brought sanctity to the firstborns of Klal Yisrael. In essence, it was a redemption of the Seh was redeemed with the Chamar. It's just the opposite. All built upon the principle of the post that we have over here. Okay, another Maimon Chazal, winding down. There's another Maimon Chazal. Let me see. Yosef demanded. Yaakov demanded Yosef, "Al not tikbereni b'mitzrayim." Why? Why was he so makbid? So according to this Medrash, says Yaakov says, "Elo Yaakov Omar shalo yipodu bi hamitzrim." They should not use me as a redemption for their sins. What does he mean over here? So he explains. Zer sheniba Hashem kover b'sacham shari yehem ha-mitzrim mishtachavim l'seh. V'ani nimshalti v'seh shenem zeh p'zur Yisrael v'mitzrayim k'siv asher b'sar chamarim b'saram harishnim shel chamar u'peta chamar tifte v'seh, and the peta chamar will be redeemed b'seh. So here, so we say over here, the translation here is u'poichar ani sheh b'zuchusi shenimshalti l'seh Yipadu Mitzrayim hanikruim chamayrim mechatoeim al ma sheinu es bnei Yisrael v'noisef oid yosifu v'yomer shebizchus haseh shub el lilom niftu l'kachomar al tikbureni b'mitzrayim. Now here is very interesting medrash. We're dashing the pasuk the normal way. It says in the Torah, U'peter chamor tifteh v'seh. Klal Yisrael is called the Seh. Seh pizura Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu Mimela, he's the father of Klal Yisrael, he is the ultimate Seh. The Egyptians are the donkeys. Ubisar chamoyrim bisaram. If my body is going to be buried in Egypt, I know there's going to come a day when the Egyptians are going to take advantage of what it says in the Torah. They're going to become all Bible scholars, and they're going to see that it says in the Torah, "Upeter chamar tifteh v'seh," and they'll recognize that they have done terrible averos, they've done terrible sins. They have tortured the Jewish people, and they have done other things. And they'll say, "Listen, we made mistakes, but Hashem is going to save us. We're going to free ourselves from our sins by washing our hands on the blood of the Jews. We are the Petach Hamor, and Yaakov Avinu, who's buried in Egypt, is the Seh. So we'll just go to his kever, we'll go to his shrine, and we'll take out a part of the Torah, some Tehillim, and we'll say, 'U Petach Hamor, the sins of the Egyptians, Tifteh, should be redeemed, B'Seh.'" Through Yaakov Avinu. Maybe it means in Yaakov Suchus, or maybe it means some other type of concept. They're going to abuse the sanctity of Yaakov to cleanse themselves from their own sins. And Yaakov says, that's not fair. They don't deserve to be cleansed from their sins. I don't want me to be an object for them to use and to abuse what it says in the Torah to free them, to wash their hands from their blood. Therefore, make sure you get rid of me. Make sure that when I die, you take me, after you leave me trying, you take my body with you. Okay, then we have, okay, okay, let's go further. Let's go to the next pasuk. Okay, now we go to Pasuk Chafav, the last Pasuk of this section. The Pasuk of Yekuan Zan, Batifkidi Ezimas Nu'uroich. You remember, we didn't do this inside, that you remembered. At this moment in time, you remember over here the Zimas, the Zinus of your youth, Ba'asos Mimitzrayim Dadayich, when the Egyptians squeezed your Dadayich, Leman Shedei Nu'uroich, in order to recall the Shaday, the enjoyment you had when the Egyptians engaged in this activity of your youth. Let's see what it says in the Mitzudos Pasuk of Aleph, Patifkidi, Zochart es Hazima she'asis bin Uroich. At this moment in time, you remembered the act of lewdness that you did in your youth, Be'esh shahayu dadayich me'uchim, when your dadayich were squeezed, uches susim, crushed, b'mishmush hayad b'bnei Mitzrayim, Leman Shede, what is this repetition? Leman Shede Nuroich, Leman Hashadaim Shayu Muchim Biyodam, Bimei Nuroich, because your Shadaim were touched in your youth, Lochain, so the way he's translating is Leman. Yeah, you have to now add in extra words. Because of this event that happened and you enjoyed, okay, even though you, today this is criminal, right? Child molestation. But you enjoy this, or at least you think about this. This is the damage. That's what they look to a traumatist, because it's the damage. It's the damage that's done in their mind that percolates your entire life. That is why now, as an adult, you have a desire to engage in such activity yourself. He's eating in these extra four words into the pasuk. Leman Shedei Ne'uroich, because this event happened to you in your youth, that's why now, so many years later, you have a desire to do this, to engage in this. Lochein Choshakt Od Bohem. The Kofel Hadabim Lushonis Return Lema Shavda Gam Elohim Mitzrayim Vizrocha Masha Hugula Bohem Me'oz. When you worship the idols of the Canaan, when you worship the idols of Ashur, and when you worship the idols of the Kastim and the Babylonians, you started thinking back to your youth. And you say, oh, you know what? Let's go and revisit the Avodah Zarah that we worship in Egypt as well. Rashi, Pasik Chof Aleph, Atifkidi, Vatiskidi. Remember, Ba'asos, Lashon, Kivisha. Kivisha means to crush, to squeeze. Pasik, okay, let's see, in the Radak we already did. Okay, let's maybe just do one Pasik. Well, now we go into the Negeluchendi for Haliva. Because of your sins, Hashem now goes on to the same Pasik of Beis. Because of your sins, I'm going to arouse your lovers upon you. This that you have noka means you've planted, or noka here means you have uprooted. A noka, you have turned away your neshama mayhem. I'm going to bring them upon you. Let's see the Mitzvah of Pasuk Beis. The Mitzvah says, "Hinani meir I'm going to arouse upon you the heart of your lovers. So here it's very important how he translates the pasuk. When the pasuk says, "Asher nok o nafshech mehem," you've lost self-control. The words again in the Mitzvot are at Asher Nimshacht Ach, and you were drawn after them. The Sarsar Ritzonech Me'atzmech, you remove your desire from yourself. Misibas Ho'ahava Lohem. V'loy Nishar Bach Ratzon Ki Akola Siskefi Ritzonam. You lost any self control because you were so swept away and so caught up in your lust towards worshipping the idols of all of these nations, you were not able to exercise restraint, control over yourself, and therefore, now as a punishment, I'm going to have those very same people come and destroy you. Vavei sim osam olaich, avil olaich li lochem bach, to come fight against you, b'chol sivivich, and all of your surroundings. So if we're going to read the pasuk one more time inside, according to the mitzvot, read very carefully. Lochem, therefore, Hashem says, ohol liva, Hashem now says to Yerushalayim, who is called Ohaliba from the word Ohaliba, my tent is within her. Koyam Hashem Elokim. Hinani, I Hashem, may you are going to arouse us, Me'ahavaych, the ones that you loved, they're going to become your enemies. You think they are your lovers? I'm going to arouse your lovers Olaych against you. Who are these lovers? They are the ones that are responsible for you losing any self control, any self-worth, any desire to live your own life. Ace, these people, Asher, because of them, Nok'o Nafsheich Mehem. You have to read it backwards. Asher Mehem. Because of them, Asher Nok'o Nafsheich, you withdrew your neshama from having any control. You withdrew your neshama from exercising its own will to do what it wants, to serve Hashem, but instead you completely gave yourself over to these people because you were blinded by their beauty and the taiva that you were drawn after them. And now as a consequence, I'm going to bring them upon you from all sides to come to punish you. Let's see, Rashi, es mehavayich, es kastim. The kastim we're referring to as Sher Orvu al Chizkiyahu, which were pleasant to Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu he enjoyed their presence to such a degree. We learned yesterday, he invited them into the Kodesh HaKodoshim. Eis asher noko nafshech mehem, asher chozar Chizkiyahu v'usineom u'morad bohem. He's learning, telling us the drush. Ultimately, even though you love them, ultimately you're going to hate them. Because ultimately, even though Chizkiyahu had such a love for the kastim, Tzidkiyahu, his great-great-grandson, detested them. At kedei kach, he violated the oath. So he's learning the pshat in the pasuk, asher nokon nafshech mehem, not like the mitzudos that we're referring to your own neshama, but rather referring to the later point in time. In the earlier history, you love them. But in the later point in history, you're going to hate them, you're going to remove your neshama from them in the time of Tzidkiyahu, when Tzidkiyahu is going to detest the Babylonians. Radak, pasuk of Beis, l'chein defer hini meir mehavayich alech, shayu mehavayich mitchila, they were your lovers originally, eis asher nokon nafshech mehem, shemoradit mehem. He's learning the pasuk like Rashi. Ultimately, you'll come to rebel against them. You'll come to remove your neshama from them in the time of Tzidkiyahu. V'nokah sharshay, it's kuf ayin ayin, which means to remove. Pubepeles, the same grammatical form. V'rochavo v'nosva. O sharshay nokah, another sharish, which is the same idea. Okay, it's up to Chav Gimel. So tomorrow it's going to be Bli Neder, Chav Gimel, Chav Gimel.